Did you know that 95% of decisions are based on your feelings? Not logic, not rational thought, but your feelings. Can you feel the pull of emotions? Hunger, guilt, pain, jealousy, depression, and everything else weighing on every decision that you make. My next guest is going to help you deal with this in a logical, rational way. Stay tuned on the CJ Evolution podcast. Everybody, welcome back. Patrick here. Thank you for tuning in. I know you got many options out there, but thank you for spending a little bit of your valuable time with me. So excited. Got the new blog up on the cjevolution.com website. You can check it out. I got two articles up there. The second one is Criminology versus Criminal Justice. What's the difference? You can check it out again on the website. And super excited to be once again featured in Law Enforcement Today. I got another article up on the website. If you don't know who or what Law Enforcement Today is, I think you're probably living under a rock because they're one of the largest law enforcement publications out there. And I just wrote another article that's up right now. You can check it out about some tips and suggestions before leaving this great profession of law enforcement. Again, check it out. You'll see it in the show notes. And I'd love to hear from you. Reach out to me, and I will return your message. So excited to have my next guest on the show. You're going to love this guy. His name is Ryan Muncy. Ryan is a sought-after thought leader who specializes in high performance and the development of both individuals and organizations. He personally coaches Olympic and professional athletes, special forces operators. He's had a lot of SEALs that he talks to. Some of them have been on the CJE podcast. He coaches Hollywood celebrities and leading entrepreneurs, C-level executives, law enforcement people around the world. He does it all. And he is the co-founder of the Better Human Project and the author of the super successful Fuck Your Feelings. I hope you enjoy this great show with Ryan. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Very excited to have Ryan Muncy on the show. He's a leadership and high performance consultant. He's consulted some pretty important people, C-level executives, entrepreneurs, Navy SEALs, professional athletes. Ryan, welcome to the show, brother.
Patrick, thanks for having me on.
Well, I appreciate you being here. I know you are very busy. And did I miss anything in that bio? I mean, you're doing everything, man. You're all over the friggin' place.
I don't think you missed anything. I like to tell people that I am obsessed with human performance, human potential. I'm fascinated by why some people are able to have success and achieve the things that they want to achieve in their life, and why other people are not. And I've been really fortunate over the last 5 to 10 years to get to cross paths with a lot of what I would call high performers. I've gotten to work closely with them, as well as people in the academic and research side of things. So it's been a fun journey to be in the trenches as a nutrition coach, as a strength coach, a former gym owner, to help people on their own journeys, and then to kind of marry that with the theory and the science of what's going on in our heads and internally, mm-hmm. to sort of come up with what I'm calling a user's manual for mastering the space between our ears, so that we can accomplish the things that we want to do with this life that we have.
Mm-hmm. And you are so zeroed in to, and I agree with everything of what you just said. I mean, it's so important. It all boils down to mindset, Ryan, right?
It really does. It really does. I mean, at the end of the day, we've all got the same, most of us have the same, 10 toes, 10 fingers, 2 legs, 2 arms. yeah. It just really just comes down to, what are you willing to do, and how much work are you willing to put in? And that doesn't always mean simply, showing up and, going through grinding and grueling workouts or monotony or things like that. It's also on the side of developing, being courageous enough to ask yourself the questions of, you know, why am I not able to get the results? And you know, are you courageous enough to look for the honest answer to that? And then, you know, examine why that gap exists, and then work to close that gap. And, you know, I would argue that, that those who identify those gaps constantly and work relentlessly to close them are the ones who end up getting closest in their expression or performance to whatever their ideal is.
Mm-hmm. And why do so many people, Ryan, avoid this? Is it just fear of failure, fear of people making fun of them? I mean, what is it?
It's hard. It's uncomfortable. And yeah, you're right. There is the, I think the things you mentioned are sort of the external obstacles. You know, we're always afraid of being ostracized or being seen as different. You know, we're, like it or not, society likes to kind of pigeonhole us. And, you know, everybody has a tendency to play small so that we fit in. And, you know, that's why you have people like a Tony Robbins, who is so successful at his message, you know, the unleash the power within, or stepping into our own greatness. You know, that's a very difficult path for anybody to undertake. And even for those who decide to do it, it's a lifelong pursuit. It takes, you know, daily courage to try to do that. And like I said at the beginning of the answer, it's a difficult thing. It's not comfortable. It requires us to ask questions that, first of all, we're not taught how to ask those questions. You have to, most personal development occurs outside of traditional academic settings, right? Mm-hmm. You know, peak expression of what it means to be human is not a class that you take in elementary school or high school or even most colleges. So it has to be something that is an intrinsic thing to begin with. And then, you know, you have to go and seek that information on your own. And then you have to go and put it into practice. You know, so it's just, it's not something that is served up to anybody on a platter. So I think there's a lot of reasons that, you know, you don't see very many people pursuing that. But I think there are more people pursuing it and seeking it now than ever before. And I think alternative outlets like podcasts like yours are one of the reasons, one of the platforms where people can go and get that information and start to do that work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love what you said about playing small. Not that I agree with it. I just love the comment, because I think when we play small, we're never going to win, right? We're never going to win. I mean, you have to go big. And I also love what you said, Ryan. I loved it all what you said, but I really resonated with me about what you said about traditional academia, where they don't teach this in college. I went to college, went to graduate school. I know you went to Clemson, and you went to college, and you're really educated. But why don't they teach this shit? I shouldn't say shit, but why don't they teach this in college? Why aren't they starting to prep us? You know, why aren't they? Why are we teaching our kids in grade school and high school? And I think I know the reason, because they want you to be an employee. They don't want you to go out there and be, you know, self-sufficient and be an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I mean, how deep do we want to go on, you know, the tinfoil hat conspiracy stuff?
No,
I think just at the surface level, we have to look at how our traditional education system was developed. And it truly was, you know, sort of a byproduct of the jobs and the career paths that existed 200, 100, even 50 years ago. And it really was, you know, hey, how do we teach people to you know, be employees and go and fit into the system? And you're seeing sort of a backlash and people who don't want to, you know, just be a cog in the wheel. So I don't think, well, again, like I said in a minute ago, you know, how deep do you want to go on the conspiracy?
I mean, no, I just, you know, I just,
maybe it was by design, and maybe it was just maybe the system was designed to suit the needs of the time, and it just hasn't been modified. But for whatever reason, you know, like we're saying, this stuff is just not taught in traditional education.
Well, and I love people like you that are out there, Ryan, teaching people. I mean, you talk to just tons of people, and you're teaching them that they can achieve whatever they want to achieve as long as they change their mindset. And we're going to get into your book, Fuck Your Feelings, which I just ordered. But you're doing great things, and I wish there were more people like you out there. Now, after college, I know you got into bodybuilding. You're ripped, by the way, in fitness. I knew you did a lot of modeling. How did you get into what you're doing right now, which is great? I mean, how did you land into it?
Yeah, so the bodybuilding led to the modeling, and then the modeling led me to New York. And as I was doing that, I very quickly realized that that was just a very superficial way to go through life. It wasn't how I wanted to spend the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. The original thought was that if I did that and had some success, that it would give me a platform. Now, you have to remember, this was 2007, 2008, 2009. So at that time, creating a platform from which you can teach and educate was still very much in the kind of traditional sense, where you had to have a reason for people to listen to you. Whereas, obviously, in 2019, as we record this, that has changed, right? Anybody can have a podcast or a YouTube channel or, you know, so what I'm saying is in 2007, 2008, Facebook was a, you know, brand new thing, and it was really just in colleges. You know, social media wasn't then what it is now. So the idea was, you know, become a model, have some success, and then use that as a platform to educate people on the things that I was passionate about at that time, which were nutrition, health and fitness. And I really wanted to be able to educate people and say, you know, look, everything you think you know about nutrition is wrong. You've been lied to or misled, or, you know, again, how deep down the conspiracy rabbit hole do you want to go? But I just wanted to get the right information in mm-hmm. people's hands so that they could be in control and, you know, take control and be proactive with their own health. And that led me to starting my own gym. And when I became a business owner, I had to make the conscious shift from learning about strength and sets and reps and nutrition and macros, and then switch into more of business and marketing and psychology and management and leadership. And basically, I was no longer a coach. There is a business lesson that I always tell people who are small business owners or entrepreneurs. And that is, be careful when you listen to the advice of spend more time working on your business as opposed to in your business. Mm-hmm. I blindly followed that advice and ended up in a situation where I was doing everything for my business that I didn't want to do. And I was, the one thing I started the business to do was be a coach, and I wasn't coaching classes or working with people anymore. So ultimately, that was one of the reasons that I wanted to get out of the gym. But in leaving the gym, I decided to get into podcasting and get into more of the consulting stuff. And the goal with that was to be able to reach and help people outside of my hometown. So my gym was in Roanoke, Virginia. And of course, it was great to be able to help people locally, but I could only help somebody if they lived in my area and could come to the gym. So, mm-hmm. So the transition to being more online and doing the podcasting and things like that allowed me to reach a wider audience and help more people. And again, as I said, I kind of became fascinated by more of the psychology and the behavioral stuff. I was able to, see certain people in the gym and certain athletes and general population folks. When you work with enough people, you see a lot of people who have success. You have a lot of people who have moderate levels. And then you have, of course, you see some people that just never quite have any success. And I'm essentially telling and providing the same tools to all of them. So I just became fascinated by why some people were able to succeed and others weren't. And yeah, I guess that's a really long-winded answer, but hopefully that answers your question.
No,
I got to where we are.
No, I love it. Now let's shift gears a little bit and talk about your very successful book, Fuck Your Feelings. And what was the inspiration behind this book? Because I just ordered it, like I said, and I read kind of the synopsis of the book, and I think it sounds amazing. It sounds great.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of what I've just said where, you know, the goal was to synthesize all of that information and put it in an easily digestible manual. Originally, I wanted to call it The Neuroscience of High Performance. We decided that that was a title that would scare people away. Somehow, Fuck Your Feelings seems less scary, but that also seems to scare a lot of people, too. But, you know, the title is the title because it's self-talk. It's something that I've always told myself. You know, it's, hey, dude, if you want to be where you say you want to be, you need to show up and do the right thing at the right time for the right people. And so that was kind of self-talk, but also, as anybody who reads the book will find in chapter one, there's a really famous neuroscientist named Antonio Damasio who discovered that up to 95% of the decisions that we make are made based on how we feel in any given moment. And the moment that I read that quote, it was actually something that I found for a talk that I gave in Sweden at the Biohacker Summit in 2016. And then it eventually became kind of one of the working thesis points for the book. But, I mean, it's probably the same reaction you have when you hear that. It's like, holy shit, no wonder so many people fall short of the things that they say they want to accomplish in their life. The bigger the goal, the longer it's going to take us to get there, and the more points we'll have along the way where our feelings can lead us astray. I always like to use the example of an Olympic athlete when we talk about this, because the Olympics only happen every 4 years. And it's not like somebody just says, hey, I'm going to be an Olympian at the next games, right? There's always a 10-year or a 15-year training leading up to, you know, the first time that you try to make it to the Olympics. And then if you're lucky enough to compete in 2 Olympic Games or 3 Olympic Games, you know, then you're looking at a 8-year or 12-year career as an Olympian on top of, you know, however long it took you. You know, let's say you became an Olympian at 18 years old. You know, you probably have been training since you were 8. So let's call that 10 years. So you see where I'm going with this. That it's anywhere from 10 to 20 to 25 years of dedicated commitment and work towards a singular goal. There are so many opportunities along the way for that individual to say, I don't feel like waking up early for my workout. I don't feel like eating the food that I'm supposed to eat. I don't feel like watching film or fill in the blank. And it doesn't even have to be an Olympic athlete. It can be a special forces operator. It can be Oprah or Richard Branson, anybody in business. There are so many decisions along the way that if we allow our feelings to dictate our choices, we find ourselves going astray. Mm-hmm. So that's why the book is called what it is. And in the first few chapters, I explain how the decision-making process works, how the brain is organized, and what's going on. I've always been a fan of owning the information, whether we're talking about nutrition or fitness. It's always been my approach to understand what's going on so that I could make my own decisions. I never wanted to be in a position where I had to rely on someone else to tell me what to eat or to tell me what to do to train. So I took the same approach in writing this book. I want the reader to be able to understand what's going on. And then in the second half of the book, I'll lay out some high performance strategies as examples from Olympic athletes or special forces operators to give examples. But the book is really set up in a way for the reader to use it as as a user's manual for being human. This is how your brain works. This is what's going on. Bring in awareness to this. It is that awareness that gives us choice. And then in those moments of choice, we decide, are we going to be our feelings or are we going to be the individual that our values and our goals state?
Yeah.
And it's in those moments that everything is decided.
And I love the title because I mean, that's just me. I mean, that's just my personality. I mean, I love the title. It's very catching. It draws your attention. Now, for those people out there, Ryan, because I'm assuming, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're not saying you just discount feelings and you're indifferent to people. You're just saying you have to be aware of your feelings and how they can control your life.
You are 100% correct. There have been a few people who have not read the book and, you know, made comments about that. I can tell whether or not somebody's read the book based on how they approach me with that question. You know, if somebody wants to disagree, I'm like, well, if you're disagreeing with the title, I can tell you didn't read the book. Because as you said, it's not about discounting your feelings. It's about bringing in awareness to it and understanding that they are guiding the ship unless we are consciously aware of that and choosing not to allow them to guide the ship. Feelings serve a biological purpose. They have evolved through evolution as a survival mechanism. So, you know, biologically, they serve a purpose to keep us alive. Mm-hmm. They're basically like a red flag that directs our attention to something. We have so much information coming in on a daily basis, especially now, that feelings serve a very valuable role to get us to focus on a certain issue, something that we may not be. Again, there's just so much information coming in on a daily basis. We don't have the bandwidth to explore and give attention to every single data point that comes in. Mm-hmm. So attention serves to, or feelings serve to direct our attention. What we need to do is actually pay attention, pay more attention. That's the awareness point. Mm-hmm. And if we can then say, okay, why am I feeling this way? And what happens if I make a decision based on how I feel? Does that move me towards my stated goals or does it move me away from my stated goals? Mm-hmm. Is that decision aligned with my values? Mm-hmm. What's always interesting to me is when I go and present to businesses for a leadership experience, for example, lots of businesses, almost every business has a core values list or a mission statement. These are the things that we stand for. These are the things that we don't stand for. Well, very few individuals have actually gone through and done that. Very few individuals have their own values clearly identified, clearly outlined, much less written down. That's one of the first things that I do when I get to work with individuals is, you know, what are your values? Mm-hmm. Who do you want to be? What do you stand for? What do you not stand for? What do you stand against? And those act as a filter or a screening process. So now when we have an awareness in these moments, we can direct our attention to what we said our values are. And then we can say, okay, well, if I'm going to be a fearless leader who is reliable and dependable and a great dad and a, you know, loving husband, these are my values. Are my actions in this moment going to reflect that?
Mm-hmm. And I'm willing to bet, Ryan. Go ahead. No, I'm willing to bet. I mean, you tell me, I'm just guessing, just thinking when you were talking about that, again, wonderful stuff, but how many people can actually define what they stand for? How many people I'm willing to bet a lot of people come to you and you're talking to them about, you need to, you know, what are your values? What do you stand for? I'm willing to bet a lot of people don't know.
Well, you're right. I mean, again, this kind of goes back to what we were talking about in the beginning where, you know, there's no class in elementary school or high school or college that says, define your values, figure out who you are. And again, like it's kind of a double-edged sword. You know, we're not taught to do it. We're actually kind of bombarded with, you know, from the moment you turn on the TV or read the newspaper or listen to the radio, see billboards. I mean, other people are projecting their values onto you. And it's very difficult for someone to know what their own values are unless they've done this work. So it is, it's an incredibly valuable exercise that we can do. And I mean, I run people through it in seminars and workshops. There's some stuff in the book about it. I've got free videos. And it's really just as simple as, you know, I'll just tell people, you know, look, hit pause on this podcast right now. Make a list on your phone or on a piece of paper and just say, like, what are five words that I want people to use when they describe me? Mm-hmm. How do I want to be thought of? What legacy do I want to leave? When I'm not around, how do I want people to describe me? Those are probably your values. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, think on that for a day, a week. Put some serious thought into that. This is not a, you know, hey, what are the first five buzzwords that pop into my head? But then, you know, once you have those words, I actually create an alert on my phone that goes off every single day at 11 a.m. And it just asks a question. It says, am I being that person? And then in all capitals, it lists three words that are three important values to me. So I get a daily reminder. So that's one of my exercises that I like to give people.
I love that. That's a great
idea. To kind of define that for themselves. And it keeps it top of mind. I mean, you know, just because that's who you are doesn't mean that those are, you know, that's not going to be how I feel all the time. I can't tell you how many times that alarm goes off and I'm like, you know, you got me. I wasn't feeling those words right now, but it's a good check-in to say, okay, yeah. Act as if, like, act accordingly.
So, yeah. I love it. And again, I know you work with all kinds of different people out there. We talked about the military. I don't know if you work with law enforcement at all, Ryan, but law enforcement needs to hear this. And of course, the listeners, most of them are criminal justice. But what advice would you give to law enforcement, other people that are listening? You know, I know you gave just a ton of advice, some quick tips to help people out there become better, you know, better performers, high performing. I mean, most people in law enforcement are high performing, obviously the military, CEOs, other executives, entrepreneurs are high performing, but we all have our downtime. We all get, you know, we all have our bad days. How do we keep ourselves? I love your idea about giving yourself reminders. I wrote that down because I'm going to incorporate that. But what other tips could you give law enforcement and other people that might be listening?
You know, I've been really lucky. I got to present at Tony Blauer's Sphere Camp last summer. And so, of course, if you know Tony and mm-hmm. Sphere System, he works a lot with law enforcement organizations. There were a ton of law enforcement people there.
Oh, excellent.
From actually around the world. Some from England, a couple of different European countries, and then, of course, all across the U.S. We've got a really good friend who's a law enforcement professional in California. He calls himself a peace officer. So I love that. Just that thought process. It's reframing who you are and what you do, what your role is, right? So even something that simple is, you know, if you're in police, you know, are you a police officer or are you a peace officer? So I think, I mean, even something that simple is really powerful. But one of the things I always talk about when I get to speak to law enforcement or military groups is the idea of peak performance versus high performance. Mm-hmm. And the idea of chasing peak performance is a dangerous one because by definition, any peak has a drop off on the other side. Now, if you are an NFL player and you have a game on Sunday and then you don't have to do anything for 2 days and then you slowly get to build back up to the next Sunday, then it's okay to peak on Sunday. But if you're a military personnel or law enforcement officer, you really can't afford a massive peak and then a huge drop off because you never know what's coming the next day. Or, you know, for some professions, you may not even know that you have the opportunity or the ability to wait until the next day. You know, you may have another call in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Or you may think that you're going to sleep and then you may get a call and you may have to get out of bed. So I always coach folks to focus on high performance. And what we want to do is raise the baseline. So rather than this graph over time that looks like a heart rate monitor that just has peak and peak and peak followed by valley and valley and valley. We want a flat line that is above baseline and is something that is sustainable. Mm-hmm. So, you know, rather than trying to chase something that is elusive and fleeting, you know, let's focus on what is sustainable every single day. So I think just that shift as well, you know, from peak performance to high performance, you know, understanding, like you said, not every single day is going to be a 10 out of 10. So, you know, some days, you know, you feel like a 5 or a 6. And, you know, in the book, I talk about a lot of the tools that I use personally to say, fuck your feelings and elevate my state. So the way I talk about this in the book is, state versus trait, or climate versus weather. So if you think about weather versus climate, you know, Florida is known for a climate that is warm and sunny. That doesn't mean that it never rains.
That doesn't mean
that they don't have stormy days. So focus on the climate, not the weather. Focus on your climate as a human, as an individual, not the daily weather. And I think, again, that's another thing that a lot of humans do is, you know, we're so caught up in the day-to-day that we're just one day to the next, then the next day, and then the next day. We're not really focusing on that long-term view.
Yeah.
So just being able to zoom in and out, have that 10,000 or 30,000 foot perspective looking down, and you know, some people may call it the witness perspective, or just an objective view of how we're moving through life.
Yeah, I love it. And how important, because I believe, Ryan, and I'd love to hear your take on this. I think it's so important that we surround ourselves with the right people. Because if you're around the wrong people, and sometimes it's hard because maybe they're relatives or close friends, but if you're around the people that are, you know, always complaining and bitching and moaning about their lives, toxic people, then they're going to just pull you down, right? Isn't it important to have people around you that are pumping you up?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we've all heard the quote that we are the sum of the five people with whom we spend the most time.
Sure.
And I think that's incredibly true. The people that we surround ourselves with is an incredibly powerful force, either for the good or for bad. Now, I don't necessarily think that everybody around us has to be motivational or pump us up, but I think what would be really important is that you surround yourself with people that you know love you, that you can trust, and that you can trust them to keep you on track, that they'll call you out if you are slipping up, if you are underperforming, or even if you're overreaching, and just say, you know, hey, look, you might be risking burnout in the next, you know, 6 months if you keep up this pace. Like, you know, for example, this was an example that came up recently where, you know, what if Tom Brady, after the last Super Bowl, came out the next Monday and was like, hey, I'm glad we won, but next year I want to go undefeated. And in order to do that, I'm going to up my training. I'm going to do speed and agility every day. I'm going to do fasted cardio in the morning. I'm going to cut my calories so I can be faster. You know, I'm going to do this and we're going to go undefeated. I'm going to win all the MVPs. I'm going to sweep the awards. He would be celebrated in all the papers and Patriot Nation and ESPN and be the lead on SportsCenter. But if I was his trainer, I'd say, you're an idiot. It'll never work. You're going to burn out.
Yeah.
So to your point, it's surround yourself with people who are going to tell you that's not the best way to get there. That's not the best strategy, right? Don't surround yourself with the people who are going to celebrate or cheer, even though it's not a great idea.
Yeah, that's a great point, Ryan. And me personally, I don't want to be the smartest guy in the room. I want to surround myself with people who are smarter than me, who are going to say, Pat, you're fucking up. You're doing wrong. You're on the wrong path. Be brutally honest with me, because that's how I'm going to learn. I don't want people rubber stamping everything I do. You don't learn anything.
Exactly. Exactly. Be the dumbest guy in the room. It reminds me of growing up. I played sports growing up as a kid, and my dad always told me, you know, never play with younger kids. Always play with the older kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up, I was always the youngest kid, youngest one playing football or basketball or whatever. I always hung around the older kids, and, you know, that served me well. And I think it's a mindset that carries on now, not so much in a physical sense, but in the mental sense of, just like you said, I don't want to be the smartest guy in the room. If I'm the smartest guy in the room, I better be presenting. And even if I'm presenting, I want to present to a group that, you know, there's some people in the audience who are smarter than me.
Yeah, I love it. Now, talk a few moments, if you can, Ryan, about the Better Human Project. I know you're a co-founder in that. Can you tell us what that is?
Yeah, so Better Human Project is, on the surface level, it is our podcast. On a broader sense, we're still trying to figure out everything that we're going to do under that umbrella. We called it a project and are calling it a project because it really is an experiment, and we want to give ourselves room to grow and evolve as it builds a following and can potentially become something special. You know, we certainly are not of the belief that we know the prescription for every single individual to be a better human. So I think our hope down the road is, you know, maybe it gets to a point where we have a Better Human Project conference and people can come and set up booths and demonstrate what it means to them to be a better human, or how they're out in the world making the world a better place. You know, there are people who have charities that take kids with autism surfing, or, you know, do charity rides on bicycles across the country to raise money for kids with cancer. You know, that, and that's just kind of a charity aspect of it. There could be, you know, B corporation businesses that are, you know, doing things for drinking water around the world, or, you know, whatever it is. I think we are just trying to find individuals who embody the spirit of pursuing the highest expression of being a human. We want to share their stories. We want to share how they've been able to do what they're doing so that we can give our audience and our listeners the fuel and the tools to do that in their own life. And so it's an extension of, you know, everything that I get to speak about and, you know, write about and, you know, incorporate in the presentations and consulting stuff that I get to do as well. So we're having a blast with it.
Yeah, I love it. What's next for you, Ryan? Any more books or what? You're probably busy enough as it is.
I have a feeling that there will probably be another book. I don't know when, I don't know what it would be, but there'll probably be another one in the future. Speaking is kind of the big thing right now. There'll probably be a lot of speaking engagements for the rest of this year and next year, consulting, growing the Better Human Project. We do have a book for the Better Human Project coming out. I'm calling it kind of we'll call it a coffee table book. But it reminds me of one of those books that you would see on the back of a toilet where it just has a lesson on each page. And we're just kind of synthesizing and sharing the advice from our first year of episodes.
That's great. Now, do you have a morning routine, Ryan? Do you have one?
Actually, I do. I actually have been very intentional in the last few months about starting my day slowly. For the longest time, I tried to start my day fast. And maybe it's a factor of us moving over the summer and we live out in the country and, you know, I don't know. I'm never married to any routine. And I think I always caution people that, you know, once a routine sort of becomes just that routine, that, you know, we're kind of going through the motions,
sure.
That maybe it's time to change it up again. And I always, again, caution people not to put power in the routine. Don't give the routine itself power, because then you're saying that that that's the thing that gets the results, not you. Mm-hmm. So I always tell people to, when you design your routine, think about the outcome that you're hoping to achieve and what are the steps that you can do. What are the fewest number of steps that you can include to put yourself in that state? So like, for example, when I wrote my book, it was wake up, take a cold shower, sit in front of a computer. So nothing fancy, nothing elaborate. It was very fast. It was friction free. Now, like I said, I try to start my day slow. So I wake up, I drink warm water with a teaspoon of salt as soon as I wake up. We have a do red light that I do for 12 minutes as soon as I wake up in the morning. And then I actually go into a reading room that we have, and I do some morning reading from something like a Tao Te Ching or some sort of spiritual type reading. Do a little bit of meditation. And then that's usually the first 30 or 45 minutes of my day. And then, I'll kind of check in with email and things like that and see, you know, how I'm going to spend the next 15 to 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then I'll start knocking off some of the big important things for my day.
Yeah. Well, that's great. If people want to reach out to you, Ryan, how can they find you, brother?
Yeah. Easiest way on social media is probably Instagram. That is @RyanMuncy_. And we mentioned the podcast is Better Human Project. Website, RyanMuncy.com. And yeah.
And they can get your
book available.
They get your book there too, right, buddy?
Yeah. Yeah, they can get a signed copy of the book on my website. Or if you are impatient and you want it faster, it's available on Amazon, and they can definitely get it to you faster than I can. But it won't be signed.
Okay. All right. Well, Ryan Muncy, thank you, brother, so much for coming on the show. I wish you much success in the future, and love to have you back on sometime.
Passion, thanks for having me on, and appreciate the kind words. And anytime, love to come back.
All right, brother. Take care of yourself. I don't know about you, but I was writing notes the entire time I was talking to Ryan. Remember, you cannot control your instincts until you understand how they work, period. I hope you love this show with Ryan Muncy. You can check out the show notes and see everything right there. Folks, if you'd rate and review the podcast on iTunes, I sure would appreciate it. Thank you so much for tuning in, and stay tuned for great guests on the CJ Evolution Podcast.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.